Damn. He produced a length of shiny black wood from the ragged pocket. There was a large silver knob on the end. The watchman craned to look.
This,
Vimes groped. This old man turned up from the palace a couple of weeks ago, gave me this damn thing. Got a label saying, Regalia of the Watch Commander, City of Ankh-Morpork. You know they never throw anything away up at the palace. He waved it vaguely. The wood was surprisingly heavy. It's got the coat of arms on the knob. Look. 30 watchmen tried to see. And I thought, good grief, this is what I'm supposed to carry? And I thought about it, and then I thought, no, that's right, just once someone got it right. It's not even a weapon. It's just a thing. It ain't for using, it's just for having. That's what it's all about. Same thing with uniforms. You see, a soldier's uniform is to turn him into part of a crowd of other parts all in the same uniform. But a copper's uniform is there to... Vimes stopped. Perplexed expressions in front of him told him that he was building a house of cards with too few cards on the bottom. He coughed. Anyway, he went on, with a glare to indicate that everyone should forget the previous 20 seconds. Our job is to stop people fighting. There's a lot happening on the street. You've probably heard that they're starting up the regiments again. Well, people can recruit if they like, but we're not going to have any mobs. There's a nasty mood around. I don't know what's going to happen, but we've got to be there when it does. He looked around the room. Another thing, this new Clatchian envoy, or whatever he's called, is arriving tomorrow. I don't think the Assassin's Guild has anything planned, but tonight we're going to check the route the wizard's procession will be taking. A nice little job for the night shift. And tonight, we're all on the night shift. There was a groan from the watch. As my old sergeant used to say, if you can't take a joke, you shouldn't have joined, said Vimes. A nice, gentle door-to-door inspection, shaking hands with doorknobs, giving the uniform a bit of an airing. Good old-fashioned policing. Any questions? Good. Thank you very much. There was a general rustling and relaxing among the squad as it dawned on them that they were free to go. Carrot started to clap. It wasn't the clap used by midlings to encourage underlings to applaud overlings. The palms are held at right angles to one another and flapped together rather than clapped, while the flapper stares intently at the audience as if to say, we're going to have some applause here or else the whole school is in detention. It had genuine enthusiasm behind it, which was somehow worse. A couple of the more impressionable new constables picked it up, and then, in the same way that little pebbles lead the avalanche, the sound of humanoids banging their hands together filled the room. Vimes glowered. "Very inspiring, sir," said Carrot, as the clapping rose to a storm. Rain poured on Ankh-Morpork. It filled the gutters and overflowed, and was then flung away by the wind. It tasted of salt. The gargoyles had crept out of their daytime shadows and were perched on every cornice and tower, ears and wings outstretched, to sieve anything edible out of the water. It was amazing what could fall on Ankh-Morpork. Rains of small fish and frogs were common enough, although bedsteads caused comment. A broken gutter poured a sheet of water down the window of Ossie Brunt, who was sitting on his bed because there were no chairs, or indeed any other furniture. He didn't mind at the moment. In a minute or two he might be very angry, and then again possibly not. It was not that Ossie was insane in any way. Friends would have called him a quiet sort who kept himself to himself, but they didn't because he didn't have any friends. There was a group of men who went to practice at the archery butts on Tuesday nights, and he sometimes went to a pub with them afterwards and sat and listened to them talk. And he'd saved up once and bought a round of drinks, although they probably wouldn't remember. Or maybe they'd say, oh yeah, Ossie. People said that. People tended to put him out of their minds in the same way that you didn't pay much attention to empty space. He wasn't stupid. He thought a lot about things. Sometimes he'd sit and think for hours, just staring at the opposite wall, where the rain came in on damp nights, and made a map of Clatch. Someone hammered on the door.
Mr. Brunt, are you decent?
I'm a bit busy, Mrs. Spent,
he said, putting his bow under the bed with his magazines.
It's about the rent.
Yes, Mrs. Spent.
You know my rules.
I shall pay you tomorrow, Mrs. Spent,
said Ossie, looking towards the window.
Cash in my hand by noon or it's out you go.